We continue now with our series, Minding Michigan, where we explore mental health issues in our state. How well does Michigan do in helping people suffering from mental health problems? Well, when it comes to the mental health care safety net, the answer is troubling because it seems that Michiganders with private insurance are the ones whose safety net is the weakest. Well, that's certainly what it feels like to Julie Hartley. She shared her story on Stateside earlier this month, telling Lester Graham how she was unable to get adequate emergency mental health care for her suicidal teenage son, Ian.
When somebody tells you that they have a plan to take their life, they're supposed to be held, and they're supposed to be seen by somebody in the mental health field. That never happened to our son. Had that happened, my son may still be alive today. I know for sure he wouldn't have passed away on May 2nd.
Well, less than a day after being turned away by Community Mental Health of Clinton, Eaton, Ingham counties because the family had private insurance and then seen briefly in a hospital emergency room, Ian Hartley made good on his promise. He took his own life.
CMH, when we went there, I felt like they should have just taken him and at least done the psychiatric evaluation with him there. Whether or not we had private insurance or, you know, state aid, the fact that we had to pay out of pocket to them was a great barrier. That shouldn't be how that's operated. It's a community mental health. They should give the help first and figure out how that payment's going to come in afterwards, because we would have paid anything we needed to.
So let's talk now about the holes in the mental health safety net in this state and who's slipping through. Bob Sheehan is with us. He's the CEO of the Michigan Association of Community Mental Health Boards. Thanks for being here, Bob.
Of course.
I think, Bob, what's really hard to understand is this: why Ms. Hartley and her son were turned away from Community Mental Health Center because they had private insurance, told to take him to the hospital emergency room. It just seems like it shouldn't matter in that intense moment when someone is clearly suicidal, he had a specific plan, and he needed emergency mental health care right then.
You know, Julie Hartley said it well. I think most citizens and most of the staff who work in the mental health centers think that's how it should be. You should have a safety net that's fully funded for anyone in Michigan, regardless of your payer source. What happened 2 years ago as part of the Healthy Michigan expansion, which we all applauded, there was a 60% cut made to state funding for the CMH system. So you have a system now that's primarily built around serving folks with Medicaid coverage or people with no coverage at all. So who gets harmed, and Julie Hartley couldn't have said it better, are people with insurance. So you show up at a CMH center who's had to prioritize its funding for Medicaid coverage or people with no coverage or court-ordered. Folks who are in court orders, insurance doesn't pay for that. So by the time the insured person shows up, the state funding is really gone. In fact, in most cases, CMHs are in the red in their state funding. What Julie Hartley said is exactly how most taxpayers think the system does work, and it doesn't, but it should.
So what we're hearing from this, from what Julie's saying and what you're saying, is when it comes to our mental health safety net in Michigan, people with health insurance, with that private insurance, are actually the worst off.
I think they are. Most insurance now has a significant copay, and then the family has to make a call. Is it worth paying for that? Julie Hartley or any family, when they come to a CMH, the CMH will do the service, but the family will end up with an insurance bill or a bill from the CMH that is sizable. And that's, I think, what scares families. And so the family says, how do I make a better choice here? Thinking they walked into a place that was a public service, right? That would be free of charge to be provided. And it used to be. That's no longer so across the state.
And from what she had said to us, they were told it would be $700 out of pocket. But the fact that they had that private insurance was a barrier to the people at the CMH. And they said, go to the hospital. You'll get the same kind of care with your insurance. That didn't really happen either. And I'm wondering, is there a time when the Hartleys would have been able to bring in Ian and get that crisis help right on the spot?
There would have been, yeah. Two years ago, in 2013, the CMH system was funded three times larger than it is now for non-Medicaid folks. Right, so the Hartleys could have walked in and the CMH would have taken insurance. And the reason they could have, they had state funding to underwrite the cost. So let me just use the $700 as an example.
Yes.
If it's $700 for that visit, and the reason it's so expensive, by the way, it's like ER. You're paying for a 24/7 service. and it's comprehensive. It's a psychiatrist, psychologist, social worker. And the insurance company, imagine they will agree to pay $400 of it. The $300 then could be billed at a family, or the CMH could pick it up. And so before 2013, the CMH would just pick up that cost using state dollars. They can't do that now. Those dollars are so thin, they have to prioritize on the uninsured, first of all, who have no access to care, and those with insurance who need the kind of care that Ian Hartley needed are really low on that priority list. And that's not how people thought it would go, but that is how it goes. But it wasn't true in 2013. You could have been covered then.
So you've just described the system that has a safety net for everyone. And we know that, Bob, you've been involved in the work group examining alternative funding methods for Michigan's community mental health centers. Is there anything happening in that process that could help tighten this weak safety net?
There is. Most of that discussion has been around Medicaid coverage, I should tell you, because that in most states, that's where most of the action is. Except, you know, in Michigan, I remind people of this, there's 8 million people in Michigan who aren't covered by Medicaid. And the Hartleys are a good example. And so if you have insurance that you've purchased through the exchange or through your commercial employer plan, your coverage is very, very thin. The CMHs will see you. It's regardless of payer source. But you could end up with a bill as a family that is sizable.
You were actually the CEO of the Community Mental Health Authority in Clinton, Eaton, and Ingham counties for 18 years until last year. So you know this place, you know these issues, and this was the place that Julie brought Ian the day before he committed suicide. That has to really hit hard.
You know, it really does. It's what happened to Ian Hartley is a tragedy, and we're all saddened by it. And this won't give Julie Hartley any comfort, but it's a systemic problem. It was personal for her and her family. It was a terrible tragedy. We wish Ian was still with us. And it wasn't a hard-hearted clinician or a hard-hearted CMH that caused that. It's a systemic underfunding of a system for those who assume, like the Hartleys did, that their public CMH would provide a publicly funded service when they showed up. And it failed that. And it wasn't because the CMH chose to fail that. It was because of systemic funding problems.
So, Bob, what can come out of this family's tragedy that might cause the thinking and the funding to be changed to strengthen the safety net? I mean, what should people be demanding of our state leaders? Because any one of us could wind up in that horrific situation that Julie and her family found themselves in. You never know.
That's exactly right. So the solutions are pretty straightforward. Now, they involve dollars. And right now, getting state general fund dollars is tough. So the solutions would be to earmark state dollars for certain services. First of all, if you had enough money, you would just fund the state-funded non-Medicaid services appropriately. And if you fail that, then you could earmark them. You could say, for example, if anybody walks in a crisis situation like Ian and Julie Hartley did, you would say, we will have funds available to underwrite that and make it free for anybody who walks in. You might say the same thing for inpatient. You might say the same thing for pre-crisis intervention. So you could end up with a package of services, not the full array, that you'd say any citizen can walk in and get those things free of charge, regardless of whether their insurance covers it or whether there's a copay or whether the insurance covers the entire cost. That'd be a straightforward solution. I should tell you, House and Senate members, we've been talking to them recently since this and other issues, by the way. It's not isolated to the Hartley case. It's statewide. Are realizing that the general fund cut made in 2013 to help fund Healthy Michigan was too draconian and that some restoration of that funding is needed.
And that's something that it sounds like people can focus on if they want to reach out to their legislators and our state leaders.
That's right. In fact, they should use very specific language. You want state general fund financing for the public mental health system, the CMA system, restored to its 2013 level, or at least moved closer to what it was in 2013. Not Medicaid funding. We're talking about general fund financing for people not covered by Medicaid.
Bob Sheehan is the CEO of the Michigan Association of Community Mental Health Boards. Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.